That.
Shoot First, Ask Questions Later, a fantasy football podcast. I'm Brent.
I am Nick, and we are back after our COVID bye week.
Yeah, we had a situation where I was exposed to someone that also was exposed to like a secondary type contact. I went into the 5-day quarantine.
Yep.
All those people tested negative, so I am allowed to be back with the pregnant host's wife house.
On that note, I think the NFL is doing a lot better job with this COVID stuff, where they're just ruling players out who are in close contact and keeping games on skip.
So we had a bye.
Yep.
But there's no COVID byes for the league this week.
Nope.
Which is great.
Just Arizona, Houston, Jacksonville, and Washington.
There is not a ton of headlines on those teams.
Yeah, a little quick Thursday night recap since we're doing this on a Friday. Calvin Ridley, x-rays negative on his injured foot last night. Falcons go on bye week 10. I think you might be without him next week. Russell Gage, Olamide Zaccheaus, probably going to be interesting.
Julio Jones is healthy, so yeah. It'll probably be a big Julio week, I would guess.
We did not see Christian McCaffrey last week, but he looks probably ready to go next week.
Yeah, and then they have bye after that, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Curtis Samuel had a big game. Any stock in Curtis Samuel here? This is back-to-back.
I don't think that there's a lot to diagnose about the whole Samuel Anderson Moore target share right now, because it was quite literally a tropical storm remnant.
Yeah, it was not a good game for
and
the Panthers.
And Teddy Bridgewater went out for about...
Yeah, he came back, yeah.
Yeah, he went out for a half of the third quarter.
Dirty hit by the Falcons.
Very dirty play.
Yeah.
And a trip, a foul to start the play.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised Falcons won. I guess that's something.
The only win when they shouldn't. It's a pretty trash franchise right now. We'll move on to the Sunday early slate here.
New England at my Buffalo Bills. Cam Newton had himself probably one of the worst days of his professional career, I'd say. Last week.
Yeah, for sure. That was really bad, man.
Things are not looking up either in terms of his receiving.
No touchdowns, 3 turnovers, 98 yards.
Barely any rushing.
Julian Edelman is washed.
Yeah, he could return this season, but I would not count on it.
Yeah, they have not officially placed him on IR. He's ruled out for this week. So slot him on your IR slot if you can, because I think this is going to be one of those things kind of like where it was with Eckler, where he tries to get second opinions until like Tuesday or Wednesday of next week. So
they're going to put him on IR.
Yeah, I think they will. But it's just for fantasy purposes, it's going to be a roster jam.
The surgery is a 4 to 6 week timetable.
Did he already have completed?
I'm not sure, but that's the timetable that everyone is given right now. Damarie Byrd is probably the most trustworthy receiver there right now. Kenyal Harry is a bust, in real life and in fantasy.
My headline I wanted to talk to you about this last week before we had our bye was Cole Beasley over Julian Edelman in PPR formats.
Cole Beasley's been ridiculous. He's 19th among
Which
wide
is, that's
receivers.
That's perfect segue right here.
Among receivers and fantasy points.
In PPR, he's a beast. But he's been still getting actually decent amounts of yardage. In half PPR point settings, you're still good with him.
Yep.
And in standard, he's not the worst bye week filler.
He's racking up a lot of yards. He has at least 53 yards or a touchdown in all 7 games. His usage may drop a little bit when John Brown is fully healthy, because he just hasn't looked right the last couple weeks.
He has practiced all week this week, but again, yeah, with John Brown, do you know, really? You know?
Yeah, I mean, he's averaged at least 6 targets, or he has at least 6 targets in 6 of 7 games so far. That's all positive. I think the Buffalo backfield is what most people are wondering about this week. I saw Zach Moss as a popular pickup. I have seen a lot of Zach Moss this season. I'm just not impressed. I know he had one big gain last week. He probably has the best bet to score on the goal line at the running back position. I still
now
think
that he's
out.
Healthy.
Yeah.
I feel like last week we kind of felt a little bit of a dynamic. In the last 2 weeks, really, there's a little bit of a dynamic change with the Bills' running game. Singletary just, I guess, wasn't getting it done.
He's not looking good. I mean, he's not.
New England wasn't getting it done.
New England has allowed a back-to-back 100-yard rusher, so maybe if you're looking for a desperation play, Zach Moss.
Yeah, the defense still, even though they looked terrible last week, the defense still was cobbled together. It wasn't the worst I've seen in the league.
If you're starting a Patriots back, is it Damien Harris?
I don't. I'm not starting any
of
them.
Yeah, none of them is the answer.
Even in a 10-team league where I had Sonny Michel and put him on IR and picked up Harris, I'm not starting him.
Yep.
Even though Buffalo hasn't been great against the run.
No, they really haven't. And they're going to have to rely on this run game. Like, it's going to be a very run-heavy plan.
Cam Newton, the only thing I'll say about him is...
I think he's washed.
I think that I was like, this looks like the Cam that I saw when the shoulder was all messed up.
He hasn't been the same since he came back from COVID. That's just what I don't think it's COVID related, but.
I don't know if it is COVID related. I think it might just be the couple games at the beginning of the year really just beat.
Yeah, it caught some people off guard.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see.
Tennessee at Cincinnati. Start all your Titans. And I mean the four Titans: Brown, Smith, Tannehill, Henry. That's it.
This projects to be one of those Henry games.
Yeah. I mean, this could be high scoring. I will say that.
I don't think so. I think Tennessee's defense will give Joe Burrow fits.
They've been terrible. I don't know what gives you any indication that Tennessee's defense is good.
They're not the worst.
They've not been good. This is a very good matchup for the Cincinnati Bengals. They've especially been susceptible on
the looked goal. Okay. They looked okay against Pittsburgh in the second half 2 weeks ago. Or was that last week?
Yeah, they did. Pittsburgh kind of took their foot off the gas in that one, is what I would say.
I don't know why. They almost lost.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of confusing how on fire.
I thought their defense played well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think. Joe Burrow scores points. That's what I'm going to say. It's not pretty always, but the Bengals are going to score points.
AJ Green's been getting more volume, too.
Yeah, I mean, they're just...
The last 2 weeks.
They're throwing it a ton. Most in the NFL. Joe Mixon was sidelined last Sunday. He has been ruled out as of this recording of this podcast as well. So it's going to be another week of Gio Bernard. And you love him in PPR formats.
Fire up the Geo.
I mean, when Mixon has been out, he's been a borderline RB1. Like, so I'm going to endorse it again here this week. I mean, it's not going to be pretty on the ground, but he's going to give you
60. I don't think borderline RB1, RB2.
He has. No, I mean, that's his numbers.
He's been a solid RB2.
He's been excellent when filling in for Mixon in the past. Yes. Is the point here.
But it's not an RB1, though.
I mean, he got you 18 last week. That's RB1. Yeah. Like, I mean, that's... I think a similar line.
You're gonna get in full PPR?
Yeah, definitely. In full PPR, it's even better than 18. That was in half PPR that he had 18. I mean, he's 20 points in full PPR. And I do think they're going to have to pass in this one quite a bit. So I think safely deploying Giovanni Bernard. And if I'm a Mixon owner, I definitely am a little concerned that this foot injury is lingering a bit.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like... there's a lot of people that had to like stick it out with him, but he got moved to a lot of teams too.
Yep.
In trades, and man, I really hope you have Giovanni Bernard. It was not a super difficult play to intuitively pick him up when he was available in a lot of leagues.
He was unknown in a lot of places.
So
in 14
if you did it, if you did not pick him up, you need to reconsider your running back structuring. But. Yeah.
Las Vegas at Cleveland. Nelson Aguilar has now scored a touchdown in 3 consecutive games and 4 of his last 6 since joining the Raiders. Is he the de facto number one receiver here now?
No, Darren Waller is still the number one wide receiver, even though he's a tight end.
Is he ahead of Henry Ruggs?
Yeah, I think that Ruggs is going to be a good player in the league, but not right now.
Yeah, I mean, I actually I never like to put my trust in Nelson Aguilar. I just will say that generally.
It feels pretty Kevin Ogletree to me.
I mean, Kevin Ogletree is probably we've seen Nelson Aguilar have 1,000 yards. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, so we've seen him do it before. I don't think he's a good player. He also is going to have games where he drops 8 balls. You know, like that's. Nelson Aguilar gets open more than most NFL wide receivers. It's a matter of him catching the football most of the time. But he goes 5 for 107 in a touchdown last week. That's his highest total since week 11 of 2019, though. So I'm cautious if I have him. I think in this matchup, I could see using him. Cleveland doesn't really scare you on that side of the ball. Although, you know, it all depends on Myles Garrett getting to the quarterback as to how that defense performs, but they do get shredded when he's not getting there.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty accurate statement. Man, this game.
Yeah.
It really doesn't excite me a lot.
No, it's pretty bad.
I know that Derek Carr has been having a better year.
Yeah.
Congrats to him.
It's efficient. He's been, like, efficient.
Yeah, he really needed Ruggs to be there this year, but he's not, and this is what it is, man. They even are missing Tyrell Williams.
Yeah.
So for Cleveland, we got the same issues here. OBJ's out with a torn ACL for the rest of the year.
Yep. Not that he was helping you all that much. Hopefully you had him active for that Dallas game.
I mean, you were pretty strong on him early in the year.
He had two good games. He had a game against Cincinnati, but I mean, the last three have been...
I think that his productivity on the year was tied to the offense they wanted to have.
Mm-hmm.
They did not want to.
He seems like a bad fit in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could think that's safe to say. So let's talk about the fantasy fallout here. So,
obviously, I think it's easy to say Landry is going to get some boost in production.
Yeah, we also saw the Donovan Peoples-Jones.
Yeah, scored a touchdown
last week. Yeah, out of nowhere. Who was he with? Arizona?
No, he's actually a rookie from Michigan.
Okay, that was Seals-Jones.
Yeah, Ricky Seals-Jones. He now plays for the Chiefs, I believe.
Yeah, so he was talked about in a little piece I read by someone that was like about like kind of flyers.
Mm-hmm.
Deep flyers. Hakeem Butler, the tight end for Pittsburgh or Philadelphia, was what they talked about first, and this was the second one. Donovan Peoples-Jones, do you have any stock in him?
No.
Okay. I think so. I think that's probably the right.
I think it's Higgins. I mean, it's a two-receiver set with this team, and I think they're starting to show development behind Austin Hooper at tight end.
Well, he had to have an emergency appendectomy.
Yeah. Well, again, so you have Harrison Bryant and you have Njoku.
Yeah, Harrison Bryant, more of the exciting rookie out of FAU.
Yeah, he looks good. Two touchdowns last week. I think it's still hard to trust right now.
David Njoku also had a touchdown last week, but I think he's a non-fantasy factor.
I don't even know if he's on the roster come next week. Like, you know what I mean? I think he's
still
a trade.
Well, I heard they were trying to shop him,
yeah. And Rashard Higgins goes 6 targets, 6 for 110.
That's the story.
I think he's the most interesting one of the group. 44 snaps, 86% after Beckham went out.
He has more talent than people think.
He has hands issues as well. Mm-hmm. Has been Rashard Higgins' problem. But I think in the right game script, you're going to see... This whole Cleveland passing offense is game script dependent always. If they're running the ball efficiently, they're not going to make Baker throw it. You know, and... You have to find those games where they're going to be down. This is one I'm a little iffy whether or not they're, you know, I think they can run on the Raiders.
Probably. So we'll move on to Indianapolis at Detroit. Jonathan Taylor is expected to be an RB1 with the Mac injury has been a little bit of a mixed bag here, up and down.
Yeah, I mean, at least 14 touches and 62 scrimmage yards in every game, but the underlying stats are ugly. He's only averaging 1.3 yards after contact right now. That's bad.
Yeah, so what are you saying? He's a ham and egger?
I don't know. I mean, that Colts offensive line is really good. I'm kind of...
He should be gashing people.
He is a...
But also at the same time, Phillip Rivers is so terrible.
I think my point in bringing him up here is he's a very good buy low. Like, he is at probably his lowest value. He's headed into a matchup with the Detroit Lions that's given up 9 total touchdowns to running backs. This could be the week where Jonathan Taylor elevates himself to that RB1 status.
He needs to have a good game.
Let me ask you this. Would you trade Zeke Elliott straight up for Jonathan Taylor right now?
No.
Okay.
And the reason I would not do it is because I totally understand the narrative here.
Mm-hmm.
That if I was an opposing defense, I would stack the box against the Cowboys too.
Yeah.
I understand the narrative. I think that the reason that we're seeing struggles from Jonathan Taylor is because teams are doing that.
Yeah,
well.
I mean, because Phillip Rivers doesn't keep much people in
mind.
So
it just feels a little bit, to me that you're not getting any better. Like, you're trading a better running back going against stacked boxes for a running back going against stacked boxes.
Yeah.
That's a rookie. And
who's,
I know
not catching, who's not catching passes.
Yeah,
by
you're
Jonathan
trying to
Taylor.
Catch lightning in a bottle there. I feel like maybe you're doing too much. I think I understand it more in keeper formats.
Mm-hmm. I shopped Elliott for Jonathan Taylor this week. I was trying to get another receiver with him as I lost Beckham, but
yeah.
Like, I definitely...
I think that you're trying too hard there with an Elliott for Taylor straight-up deal.
I think when Dalton gets back, because he will be back from the concussion, I think, you know, we know he's going to miss this week. He'll probably be back next week. I think the Cowboys offense can be respectable under Andy Dalton. They haven't looked good, don't get me wrong, but I think they'll be
competent. There's still a lot of games left.
I think they're just as competent as Phillip Rivers at the helm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, Taylor's been kind of frustrating. You definitely expected a lot more, especially with the Mac injury, but the schedule gets very light ahead. It's one of the easiest schedules for running backs from week 8 on. So I think this is your best opportunity to buy low on Jonathan Taylor.
Detroit, TJ Hockenson is quietly breaking out in his second NFL season. Is your line that you got for me here?
Mm-hmm.
7 targets, 5 for 59 and a touchdown. Sounds good. This is one of those situations, and you can read off your bullet points when I'm done, but I think this is one of those situations where the position is still so thin. And if you can rely on a high floor is really the key for tight ends. High floor. So...
And that's what Hockenson has, for sure. I mean, he's been targeted at least 4 times in all 6 games. I think they need to get him more work. 6 most fantasy points among tight ends. First in end zone targets is what you like to see. You know who's really mad right now about that is Kenny Golladay owners, okay?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they are looking for him every time they're in the red zone. And he's converting a lot down there, you know? So, I think TJ Hockenson... You know, at the beginning of the year, I was really kind of gaga over Noah Fant, you know, in terms of the 2 tight ends from last year. Now Hockenson is kind of looking like this really steady kind of option here, I think, going forward.
I mean, it's still very plausible scenario that they're both really good.
Yeah, I mean, they were taken both very high.
They're both on bad teams.
Yeah, they are. I mean...
They're both on bad teams, and Noah Fant is in a terrible offensive, position right now.
Yeah, I mean, they're...
So, TJ Hockenson, I'm glad to see he's getting a little bit of the success. He was quieter last year going down the stretch than Fant was.
Yeah.
But...
I traded him away for Jarvis Landry this week.
Yeah, I saw that.
But I do think you can get some value out of Hockenson right now. If you're not buying this, I think this is this is the apex, probably, of TJ Hockenson this week.
Yeah,
probably. Minnesota at Green Bay... injury status of Dalvin Cook limited Wednesday and Thursday. Expects to play in this one.
Yeah, I think that you expect him to play here. Didn't they just get off a bye?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, they'll be ready.
Yeah, Gary Kubiak said Cook would probably not be on a pitch count Sunday against the Packers, giving more hints to the fact that he is questionable, but the fact that Kubiak is saying he's not going to be on a pitch count on Sunday...
Yeah, that's good.
Lead you to believe he's going to play.
I think he's going to play, and I think Madison will probably get his little few 9 touches or whatever at the end. The storyline in this game is definitely injured running backs, man.
Yeah.
Because Dalvin Cook, like we said, coming off by the other side of the ball here, we got Aaron Jones is out for another week. This is now 2.
Yep. Jamal Williams, another good play here, especially against this Minnesota defense that's unloading players left and right.
This is a typical late season handcuff start.
Yep. It's very similar to Bernard, you know? Like this
This was fantasy football 101 with these guys here. So last week, 19 touches, 77 yards and a touchdown. Also 5 targets, 4 for 37 through the air. That's over 100 yards of scrimmage and a touchdown. You'll take it.
Yep, and Dylan not really that involved in anything.
Some people, as bad as the Falcons are, people were calling for Dylan to have a big day, kind of almost Josh Kelly-esque this year, of he'll be running the ball, and Williams will maintain his role. That wasn't the case.
No.
I think Jamal Williams scored his touchdown on like a direct snap too, right? Was it a wild
count? Yeah, it was.
Something along those lines. It was a little gadgety.
But I think he's still the goal line back. You know, I mean, I don't think they trust A.J. Dillon that much, at least right now. LaFleur is not a rookie guy.
Yeah, also, Aaron Rodgers doesn't strike me as the type that wants to get blown up.
Yeah, for sure. Jets in Kansas City. Weekly, the only thing you care about with the Jets is Jamison Crowder, and he is not playing this week.
Yeah, so there's literally nothing to talk about.
Yeah, but Michael P. Ryan scored a touchdown. Good for him. Wouldn't count on it again.
Yeah, hopefully he does in garbage time.
I mean,
then we'll have something to talk about.
This Kansas City defense is good. They're going to get
I know, but
destroyed.
I think they very well might be up 20 or 40-17 at half.
Yeah, I don't know if Patrick Mahomes will play at halftime.
Yes.
Like, I mean, really.
So if they're that far up, then the narrative becomes, does Le'Veon Bell get his vengeance?
Yeah, I mean, the Le'Veon Bell revenge narrative is there. Last week, he looked good. There's stuff I did like, stuff I didn't. He was very effective running the ball. He was on the field 33% of the time. It was a blowout, and yeah. You know what I mean? It wasn't a close game, but this predicts to not also be a close game. Was not targeted in the passing game, which
I think that I wouldn't. That was what we wanted to see from him.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put too much stock in it.
Also,
he's been on the team for nothing.
He also did not get the goal line carry that
again
that Edwards-Helaire punches in.
Yeah.
And CEH was, I don't know, he was okay. He only had 9 total touches, which was weird. I mean, but they also used DeAndre Washington in the second half of the game for 10 touches because
it was a blowout.
So, but again, the Chiefs are going to be up in a lot of games, so.
And this certainly projects to be one of them.
I do think they try to get him in the end zone this week, though. Like, if I was going to use him, I don't think you can use him going forward other than this game based on last week. You know, I don't think 6 touches is going to amount to much, and that might be what he is, mm-hmm. You know, in this offense.
That's about really it for this game. We're going to move on to the next one, which is the Rams at Miami. The Rams decided to make Monday Night Football a Josh Reynolds game.
Yeah. 75% of the offensive snaps, 4 for 52 and a touchdown. Now scored on back-to-back weeks. He's yet to clear 60 yards receiving in a game. I'm not rushing out to get Josh Reynolds.
Yeah, me either. It's really just not. I think the storyline of the game is the struggles of Robert Woods and
Cooper Kupp's been fine.
I don't know if I would say struggles for him, but he hasn't really had any breakout games.
He's been way more inconsistent than he's ever been with the Rams. That's how I would put it. He's always been really, really high floor option. The floor is as low as it's ever been.
I don't know,
on
dude.
Robert
last year, he was a super high floor option for the first like 8 weeks. In the last 8, he fell off a cliff.
I'm gonna throw something out here. As I was writing this, and I was thinking about, they're the new New England Patriots. Like, the Rams are the new New England Patriots. They have 3 running backs. They have 4 receivers catching. They got 2 tight ends. You have no idea what McVay is going to draw up and who he's going to try to focus in a game
plan. Oh, yeah. Like, I feel like they're not.
Their offense is so hard to predict right now.
The Patriots comparison kind of was hard for me to understand because of the defensive aspect.
No, I'm talking about their offense. Like, under Brady.
Yeah, I remember when they've had some good ones. Yeah.
Yeah, but it was impossible to predict. Like, it was, you know, there was 3 running backs involved.
It's kind of how Philadelphia is when they're good, too.
Yeah, I mean, this is a hard offense to predict right now. Like, I mean, Tyler Higbee, Gerald Everett, Robert Woods, Kupp, Reynolds, Malcolm Brown, Darrell Henderson, Cam Akers. Like, you're literally throwing a dart at a board.
I get a little bit of that feeling with San Francisco, too, where I'm like,
Kyle Shanahan.
Seems to be their offense, and it's whoever's starting.
Yeah,
you know?
It is. But the Rams are frustrating this year. They're definitely losing people fantasy weeks because it's when you expect them to. Like, this is a game you'd expect them to move the ball passing. Like, you know what I mean? Against Miami.
We'll see how good Tua Tagovailoa is.
Yeah. What do you expect from young Tua?
2 picks.
I think he's going to be okay. I think they're going to rely heavily on Myles Gaskin, as the Rams have not been great against the run.
Yeah.
If there was a vote right now for fantasy MVP, Myles Gaskin wouldn't win, but he'd be definitely a finalist.
Yeah, for where he got picked up.
I mean, yeah, he's now fired off a pair of top 8 weeks.
A lot of those guys, they don't get any love because they're like a toss-on for people, you know?
Yeah, I know. I mean, but really,
it's not fair, but it is how it is.
Yeah, you know? I mean, but he's winning you your fantasy league right now in a lot of cases.
Yeah, for sure.
I lost Saquon Barkley and replaced him with Myles Gaskin. You know what I mean? Like, that's where it came down to, but, and it's been working out. Gaskin is averaging 16.5 carries per game since week three. He's been targeted at least 4 times in all 6 games, and he's pretty locked in as a high-floor RB2 play every week.
16.5 carries per game since week three is elite.
Yeah, I mean, that's good it's volume.
Top 10 in the NFL, that's an RB1.
Ah, good old-fashioned slobberknocker.
Yeah. Pittsburgh at Baltimore. Baltimore coming off a bye.
Yeah. Pittsburgh got Deontay Johnson back last week.
Promptly hurt himself again.
Wide receiver usage, though, production as follows. Smith-Schuster leads the team in snaps. 9 for 85, 14 targets. That's good. He still is not getting targeted on a lot of air yards is the problem. It's all like 6-yard dink and dunks.
Yep.
And he really hasn't seen this volume. This is his most volume since week 16 of 2018. So this is kind of the outlier at this point.
He's had 4 or 5 games where he's only had like less than 6 targets or something like that, which is really concerning.
Yeah. Deontay Johnson did play 56 snaps. 9 for 80, 2 touchdowns, 15 targets. This guy has massive usage when he's active.
Yeah, Ben Roethlisberger loves this guy.
Yeah, I mean, it's massive when this guy is playing.
When this guy is playing, Smith-Schuster and Claypool are terrible.
I mean, Claypool definitely was the one. And granted, Claypool played a ton last week. This was not a case of Deontay Johnson just bumped him. But 47 snaps, 1 catch for negative 1 yard. His dud here justifies...
He had like a rushing touch too that was like bad.
Yeah, well yeah, I mean...
He fumbled and snagged it. Like
he was worth like 0.8 points in most formats. But considering how much he was used on special teams, I am a little bit concerned about Chase Claypool when Deontay Johnson is in the lineup.
Yeah.
Because
when Deontay Johnson's in the lineup, you can't use either one of them.
Usually... Like, you don't use your best
again, though. Is he playing this week?
Usually, yeah, I think so. I haven't seen anything that indicates he would not be, but Claypool being used on special teams, you don't use who you think is potentially your best receiver on special teams a bunch if you really trust him as your best receiver, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that was kind of Miles Sanders a couple of years, like, in his rookie year. Was like, you're not putting him back there on kick returns if you want him to be your lead back, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that just doesn't make any sense. Baltimore side of the ball, this offense, we've said, they've been stuck in neutral. Maybe we see something different out of them off the bye. We're definitely going to see a different running back.
Yeah, I think I'm hoping to see more, like, a better game played by Jackson, but we're just probably not.
It's a tough defense. Yeah, I mean, this is tough. Edwards or Dobbins?
Give me Edwards in this one.
Yeah, I'd like him to get in. I will say this. Dobbins is probably the better bet for receiving work, but frankly, the Ravens are not throwing the ball to running backs.
Yeah, I think that Dobbins is the better player.
I mean, yeah, free J.K. Dobbins is my mantra here, but I wouldn't be surprised if Justice Hill got involved in this game, too. Do you know what I mean?
Your note that Ravens don't throw to the running backs is irrelevant. The Ravens don't throw, period.
Well,
they got to be bottom 4 in the league with pass attempts.
They've not been throwing the ball a lot. Like, they also, but Jackson.
It's been working for them.
I mean, where are you at with Hollywood Brown right now? Like, I mean, is he.
I'm not as strong.
He's borderline on rosters right now.
The only pass catching option I really want to start is Mark Andrews.
Yeah, and he's been up and down. I mean, but that's what he was last year.
The people that picked up Dez Bryant because he got signed by their practice.
You're crazy.
Squad, yeah, that's a.
You're crazy. I think you know who's been looked good in limited action, though, is Devin Duvernay. He has actually looked all right when they've got him the ball. Sunday late slate, Chargers at Denver.
Yeah, this is kind of a West Coast game. Like, this is, I've seen this at 4:25 so many times.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, you know, like, ugh.
Yeah.
Okay, Justin Herbert is... looking good, I guess, for a rookie. He's probably going to be the rookie of the year if he can keep it up.
Yeah, it's in or Burrow, right? Well, James Robinson, too. You cannot discount James Robinson factoring into that as well. He's been fantastic. Huge game last week against these same Chargers. He's now delivered three consecutive top nine fantasy weeks. Has put up 22 fantasy points in 4 or 5 starts. He's fourth among quarterbacks in fantasy points, no lower than seventh in passing yards, passing touchdowns, carries, and rush yards.
He's fourth in quarterbacks with not starting the week one and having a bye.
That's actually since he.
Because I looked, I did a comparison.
He's been really good. It has been a soft schedule, but guess what? It's very much a soft schedule going forward too. It's not something that gets a whole lot tougher.
Denver will be a tougher test.
They're respectable in the passing game. I will say that.
The rushing has been weird. I don't think you can count on that long term.
No, I mean, no sign of Austin Eckler coming back, too. I do think they'll be a little more balanced when he comes back.
Yeah.
But it's looking more like the timeline that they updated said he's going to be closer to the 6 week than the 4 week end of things.
Yeah, Keenan Allen is a target monster now.
I think the way that they described Austin Eckler's knee was real messed up. It was real messed up, said the team doc.
Well, this guy is off the street because they fired the last guy that punctured Tyrod Taylor's lung.
Chargers Health Department. I do think this is a good spot. If you're looking for a streaming defense, the Chargers are in a good place here this week as well.
Yeah, it is at Mile High, but whatever.
It could be snowing there again.
Yeah, for sure.
Jerry Jeudy, he was held to 2 catches over 20 yards on 4 targets against the Chiefs. Now been below 33 yards without a touchdown in back-to-back games after managing 55 during each of the first 4 NFL games. 76% of the offensive snaps. That was the best of the wide receivers. Tim Patrick is very questionable for this one as well.
Yeah, that sucks because he kind of was...
I would tell you, with bye weeks ahead, that he needs to be a buy low here in the next couple weeks. His upcoming schedule, Chargers, Falcons, Raiders, is extremely soft. Andrew Locke is back. I think that helps. You know what I mean?
For sure.
Yeah,
I truly think that helps.
Yeah, I mean, there he is better than Brett Rippon or who else was there? They have another veteran there as well. He started a game. Can't think of who else was there, but again, Drew Locke is an upgrade over both of those guys.
Yeah.
So I do think Jeudy is somebody you should not pay a lot for, but I think as a buy low, as bye weeks come through, you know, start happening.
Yeah. He looks better than Henry for those rookie Albion wide receivers.
Yeah, for sure.
So New Orleans at Chicago. Oh, man. Michael Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders out on Sunday. It's undrafted rookie Marquez Callaway, who emerges as the team's top pass catcher.
Not against the Bears.
Yeah.
Not against the Bears. I'm not starting Traquan Smith or Marquez Callaway this week.
Lotion hands. Yeah, I don't think that you can start either one of those
guys. I think Jared Cook probably leads the team in targets.
Probably.
Is what I would say. But, I mean, it was nice to see out of Callaway, but... I'm just, the Bears are scary, scary defensive.
You said they should use it more earlier.
Yeah.
So, it is a good call that we had, but
yeah,
it ain't happening this week. Drew Brees is washed, too, against the Duke. He's going to struggle this week.
Yeah, it's outside at Chicago. I don't like this matchup if I am a Saints owner. I'm a little concerned about, I wouldn't be putting Latavius Murray in my, it's Kamara. You know what I mean? It's Kamara,
yeah,
and that's it.
Yeah, we saw that last week where it was like, this is a terrible rush defense. I'll start Latavius Murray because I got guys on bye.
Yeah.
No.
As terrible as this Bears offense, I think this is a close game even without Allen Robinson this week.
It looks better with Foles than it did with Trubisky.
It looks about the same.
David Montgomery is terrible.
David Montgomery is horrible for the amount of volume that he is getting. I think there is no doubt in my mind that this guy... The Bears have to be kicking themselves for getting rid of Mike Davis at this point.
Yeah.
I don't know. They're bad. Darnell Mooney supposedly probably gets the boost here with Robinson out. At least 5 targets in 5 straight games. But Foles can't hit him on anything.
Dude, they should have signed Devontae Freeman. They worked him out, and they could have paid him minimal bucks. Bucks, and he would have been way better.
Than I mean, they need to figure out a running back.
David Montgomery.
I'd be calling the Atlanta Falcons about Todd Gurley right now.
Actually, you could probably get him, and you probably might push your team into playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, as I'm saying, they should be looking for a running back right now, really bad. Like, call the Texans about David Johnson. You know what I mean?
You could
something.
Probably get him too.
Yeah, like, I mean, you cannot have any faith in David Montgomery.
The Texans have had rumors about.
Will Fuller to the Packers. Yeah.
All right, if it's going to happen, it'll probably happen soon.
Yeah.
They're on bye.
When it's Wednesdays.
I really feel like it probably would have happened Thursday night, last night, if it was going to happen, and that way he could get down there and practice for a week, you know?
The weird, difficult thing with these trades are, because of the COVID guidelines, if somebody is traded,
they have
not
to then go
eligible.
Into the protocol until they get X amount of tests that are clean. I know
it's weird. It's so strange. Le'Veon Bell last week is an experience. So if you have Will Fuller and he does get traded, while you might be excited he's going to a new team.
Cool, but prepare to have him gone for a week.
And I'll be honest with you, I would not be excited if he went to the Packers.
I would be.
I would not. Deshaun Watson, I mean... They have no other passing option in Houston. You have to contend with Devontae Adams and Aaron Jones in Green Bay.
Aaron Rodgers make his number two option.
Yeah. Any other options here in Chicago? Miller's been terrible. I guess he's more... He runs the similar routes to Robinson, I guess. I don't know. I mean, if you want to throw a dart at one of these guys... I mean, they're going to throw the ball some. Like, you know, but it's going to be... Jimmy Graham has been... atrocious.
I know.
He's totaled no fewer than 31 yards, but no more than 34 in four consecutive games.
Yeah, but he's found the end zone four times.
Yeah, I know, but you don't count. It's low volume.
It feels like Jesse James in Pittsburgh.
Oh, he's in Detroit now.
I know, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. San Francisco and Seattle, Raheem Mostert on injured reserve. Was expected Jared McKinnon would return to the feature back duties in week 7. So much for that. Jeff Wilson was a clear feature back.
I dropped Giovanni Bernard for Jeff Wilson and was feeling so dumb when I made the move, but then so smart at halftime and then back to an idiot.
Yeah, well, apparently Kyle Shanahan has given us the reason for Jerick McKinnon's disappeared. This was a planned rest week for Jerick McKinnon, as he has dealt with a lot of injuries.
It sounds highly sus.
Very sus. I mean, Among Us level sus.
Yeah.
Shockingly, he just plays 12 snaps. Jermichael Hasty gets 10 touches. He does okay. It was a blowout against the...
Everyone rushed to waivers for Hasty this week. In my leagues... that I had an opportunity to get AC with priorities.
Pass.
I did not burn it.
Pass.
Because I felt it was a pass, yeah. Because
Devin Coleman is probably coming back for this game. I don't think he will play a ton.
Also, we've seen very good running backs get told by Kyle Shanahan, I'm going to give 30 touches to running backs and you're going to give 10.
I do think McKinnon has the best skill set in this game. As good as San Francisco's defense has been, the Seahawks are going to score points.
The Seahawks... rush defense is terrible, too.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
But I do think McKinnon will be involved in the passing game, is what I would say, more than either of these guys, like Coleman or Hasty. Brandon Ayuk, first career 100-yard game last week. Debo Samuel out with a hamstring. He is borderline wide receiver 2 or 3 right now because they are finding
him. He's going to get the volume because really your options here after your running backs that you like are George Kittle. And Ayuk, that's it.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, Kendrick Bourne doesn't do anything for you.
Thought they'd be missing Marquise Goodwin.
Yeah, I know,
they
right?
Are.
They are, yeah.
Yeah, like, John Brown would be killing it on this team.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, on the other side of the ball, Chris Carson only lasted 14 snaps last week, 5 carries, 1 target, prior to leaving Sunday's game with a foot injury. Did not practice Thursday, unlikely to play in this one.
So, it didn't look bad, but it's also Chris Carson, which we've seen be very ineffective when he is hurt.
If there is somebody who is truly a game day call every weekend, though, it is Chris Carson.
So, we're concerned about that.
Mm-hmm.
Then, okay, well, Carlos Hyde is a logical pickup. Not so fast.
Questionable the hamstring. He said it's minor and it's fine. Is expected to play in this one. But San Francisco has allowed the second fewest fantasy points to running backs.
I thought that they were going to call Houston. I thought they were going to call Houston and get CJ ProSize back off special teams.
Maybe.
Because he's there now and he's just playing special teams.
Kind of like this DJ Dallas kid, to be honest with you. He's truly the only healthy running back. He could have more volume than he normally sees. He's definitely the pass-catching type back.
Against a beat-up Niners D.
I mean, I would have said Travis Homer, but he has not practiced all week either, who was actually the true backup to Chris Carson this year, but he does not look likely to play as well. I would temper my expectations for Hyde or Dallas in this one. I think this is probably more Metcalf, Lockett, and David Moore.
Yeah. So for Sunday Night Football, this is a pillow fight on primetime.
Yeah.
Why?
Both of these primetime games are just atrocious. I'm not even going to give it a primetime.
No. This will not get that.
No, it won't.
This is disrespectful to primetime, honestly. Yeah, it really is. The NFC East is so bad.
I'd rather watch San Francisco and the 49ers go at it.
I'd rather watch the Chargers and the Broncos, even.
Yeah, I don't want to see Ben DiNucci versus Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
Dallas, avoid the Cowboys this week, including Elliott is what I'd say this week. I do feel okay once Dalton is back, as I said before, but Ben DiNucci expected to start this week. I mean, on volume alone, Elliott's probably going to touch the ball a lot. It's going to be really ineffective. He does get Zach Martin back this week, which is good.
That's good for him, and Philadelphia is also a complete slaw with injury.
Yeah, I mean, health is always the question with Philadelphia. Start with Miles Sanders, DNP Thursday, unlikely again this week. Probably the Boston Scott show again. He bailed you out with a touchdown last week, but it wasn't pretty until the very last drive.
Dallas is a terrible defense, though, so maybe it happens again.
Goddard, IR.
You don't feel good about that.
Yeah, Dallas Goedert, IR, designated a return now. His 21-day window doesn't sound like he will play this week, though, but definitely someone if he's been dropped you need.
Probably someone to go pick up if you are tight end needy.
Yeah.
Or you have tight ends on bye.
Yeah.
Coming up, I would see if you can go get him because there's most leagues, he's probably a free agent.
Yeah. Jalen Reagor is going to play in this one with a thumb injury. That's good news for the Philadelphia receiving core is what I would say. I mean, Travis Fulgham has been really good. I can't explain it. But
we thought he was a bum, but maybe we're wrong. Maybe he's Ogletree. We'll see.
Yep.
Alshon Jeffrey is still hurt now. Different injury. That's pretty
standard for him. Still not practicing. I don't know why Alshon Jeffrey was not on IR. Like, I don't know what the logic on keeping him on the roster this long.
Yeah, it was foolish.
Like, I don't know. Maybe because they can't trade him when he's on IR. I don't know. It's weird. But he's still sidelined. I don't think he plays. Like, I mean,
no, he's not playing.
I don't know why they keep listening.
He's already been ruled out.
Okay.
He's already been ruled out.
As of the script writing, he was not ruled out. Monday Night Football. Tom Brady's just going to roll the Giants. I guess the story, though, with Tampa that we have to talk about since we were off last week, Antonio Brown signs with the Bucs. What do you expect?
I think they're going to try to get him in the end zone, man.
I think he's the number one receiver immediately.
I don't know about that.
I do. I think
I do think it's imminent that he'll be the one number one receiver, and I say that because of the situation that we
Tom
find
Brady
ourselves.
Tom Brady hates Mike Evans.
He hates Mike Evans, and Godwin's out.
Yeah, I mean, it's good.
So I do think he's going to move and take over some value from other people, but at the same time, Antonio Brown doesn't strike me as the type that has learned enough this fast to satisfy Tom Brady.
I think the only reason they brought him in is because of Tom Brady. I mean, Arians was so adamant in the offseason that this... I mean, Arians was with him in Pittsburgh.
I know.
You know,
he
hates him. Like, he literally said there was
no... We talked about how toxic that locker room had to have been.
Yeah, I mean, but literally Arians was like, at the beginning of the year, there is no chance we will sign Antonio Brown. I will not bring this player in. They went over his... I mean, Arians has lost control of the team. Let me just say that. That this could turn into a three-ring circus with Brown and Brady.
Well, defense is Arians' thing.
No, he's an offensive coordinator. He's the offensive coordinator with Pittsburgh.
Okay, you're correct.
Yeah, he's the quarterback whisperer, Big Ben and stuff, yeah. Bruce Arians is... it's Tom Brady's team at this point. He should have known this. There does seem to be some friction between... Bruce Arians, super coy on his assessment. He was like, Antonio Brown has done a lot of growing up. We'll see what he's got. You know what I mean? Like, he's like, I mean, he knows the guy. I don't know how long Antonio Brown can keep it together. Like, you know what I mean? It could turn into a straight meltdown. But The guy I'm most concerned for is Mike Evans. Like, really, I am very concerned if I'm a Mike Evans owner right now. One, because
it just... Do you think it's just because Brady doesn't like him, or do you think that it's because the typical Mike Evans really deep ball?
Yeah, the air yards. It's
maybe Tom Brady doesn't like him because Tom Brady doesn't look good throwing that ball.
I'm a little concerned with Gronk becoming alive the last couple weeks as well. Yeah, especially
it might
red
be
zone.
A little bit of fool's gold there.
Yeah, well,
but at the same time,
Brady prefers Gronk though.
I know. At the same time,
whether he's slow as molasses like he is, like you
they'll
know,
run up the score here if they can.
Yeah, I mean they're going to against the Giants.
Yeah,
like they're going
they can,
to.
They will.
Yeah, I mean that's what I'm saying. You know, this, but I honestly, it's bold, but I think from here on out of the three receivers, and I will say this because of Chris Godwin and his injuries this season,
Mike Evans gets injured too, dude.
But I'm this is going to be my bold proclamation. I think Antonio Brown leads the Buccaneers in fantasy points at the wide receiver the rest of the season. You've just seen how this has gone, just dynamically.
If we go through the rest of the season, yeah, I don't think it's crazy because also those two other guys missed time, dude.
Mm-hmm.
They always had.
And Brady hates Mike Evans.
Well, I don't know if he hates him. I think he hates him because he can't throw the ball that he used to.
I think Tom Brady hates him because of that play in the New Orleans game, week one.
Yeah.
Where he did not reach up for an interception that went against Tom Brady. And since that point, he has not trusted him.
Yeah. All right, we'll be back next week.
Anything to say on the Giants?
No.
Dumpster fire?
Yeah, I literally skipped it intentionally. Sorry.
Devontae Freeman's not going to play this week.
Yeah.
It's going to be Wayne Gallman.
Wayne Gallman in 16-team leagues only.
Yeah.
Next week, I'll challenge Le'Veon Bell to a rap battle.
Okay.
And I've got some bars for you.
You better have bars.
Yeah, I got bars. So
it can't be
gives the listeners something to listen to. And we'll see y'all next week, guys. Peace out.